Polarization just keeps getting worse in Washington. It's as bad as they've ever seen it, and it seems to be making Americans very upset.
Impeach 45!
This is politics.
Impeach 45!
Is this where we want to set the bar for future presidents?
Clinton was the worst in history.
It was a vote along party lines that made President Clinton only the...
I'm not for gay marriage.
I believe marriage is between a man and a woman.
I believe marriage is between a man and a woman.
And so does
Barack
John.
Obama nor I support
is the
earth
flat this afternoon.
A
limousine was set on fire downtown.
It's my
smoke
decision.
Could be seen
it's
from blocks
not
away.
Baby.
And protesters hurled
trash
cans,
beams,
bombs, and blasted
the
bill is working intense partisan.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Bob and Weave. I'm Bob Ruff.
And I'm Zach Weaver, the Weave.
That's right. Thank you guys for joining us again. Zach, I have to first compliment you on your bling.
I'm blinged out today.
He
I had
is.
To wear my chain.
Those of you that are listening and not watching, for some reason, Zach is wearing a giant plastic...
Don't tell him it's plastic.
Gold-looking...
It's gold as shit.
Gold necklace.
It's gold. It's real gold.
What is the? Is there any meaning behind that?
No, I just felt like I needed to wear it today.
Just felt like you needed to wear it.
Yeah.
As I said before we came in, good time to wear something goofy and probably the most serious topic we've covered yet.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not really the most serious. It's just, it affects everyone.
Yeah.
More so than some of the other things that we've covered. And what we're going to cover in today's episode is the ongoing situation that the U.S. has with Iran, or Iran, however you want to pronounce
it. Yeah. And I would preface this by saying we're recording this a week ago as you hear it.
Yeah.
And this is a very dynamic situation right now.
Yeah.
So we are going to talk about as up to date as we can get.
Literally, President Trump just spoke 2 hours ago.
Yeah. We literally just got off the computer and rushed in here after hitting refresh and refresh and refresh and reading as much as we could.
Yeah.
So we're giving you as much up-to-date information as we can with this.
Yeah, and the situation may have drastically, and I'm guessing probably will drastically change. We're recording this on the 8th, Wednesday the 8th, so you're hearing it on the 15th or watching it on the 15th. But you know, we actually discussed it last night or yesterday. We were discussing what topic we wanted to cover, and we thought right now what had just happened at that point was that President Trump had ordered a strike and assassinated General Soleimani, Iranian General Soleimani. And there was a lot happening at that point. Nancy Pelosi and the House were talking about trying to enact a law to limit President Trump's powers.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, the Republicans are in favor of this. The Democrats seem to be very much against it. And so we were talking about that. And then last night, right before we recorded this episode, Iran struck back and actually launched ballistic missiles at two of our bases in Iraq.
And what's crazy about it is I didn't even know that until I got here this morning. I got here this morning and you asked me if I'd watch the news.
Yeah.
And I don't watch the news in the morning. I don't watch the news hardly ever, but I didn't watch the news this morning.
Right.
And you're like, you should check the news.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because I always get some news at nighttime because, you know, my routine is I get up very early in the morning. I like to get up, make coffee, and then turn the news on in bed. My wife and I sit in bed and drink coffee and watch the news. So when I turn the TV on in the evenings to watch something more fun before we go to bed, it's always on the news.
Okay.
You know, so I flipped it on and it's on MSNBC when I turned my TV on this morning or last night. And it was like breaking news that had just happened that Iran had launched. And at that point, we didn't know if there had been any casualties or what had happened with that. But you know, when I went to bed last night, all we had heard was President Trump tweeted. He said all is well, and you know, he said something to the extent of they're going to be monitoring and investigating the situation, see if there's any casualties, and he'll make a statement in the morning. And I'll say, you know, we're going to back up obviously and walk through this whole thing, what's been happening and what's going on right now. But I will say, for you know, as I've not been a supporter or a fan of Trump on this show at all, but I will say that even that tweet, I was waiting for, like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to be tweeting his, you're going to pay tremendously or whatever, you know, the typical Trumpisms.
Yeah, here comes the idiocy that is.
Right. So even though his tweet wasn't, I mean, the most professional tweet in the world, I thought the action was in the fact that he said that, you know, we're going to wait, basically sleep on it,
mm-hmm.
get some information. I'm sure he wasn't sleeping, but we're going to, you know, gather intelligence and then we'll speak in the morning. And then the commentators, the anchors on MSNBC were saying that, you know, the military locked down.
Yeah.
You know, they were saying even the sources they normally have to tell them what's going on, nobody's talking,
mm-hmm.
Which I think was smart because, you know, we don't know. I mean, I'm sure at that point when we were gathering information for, you know, I half expected to wake up this morning and find out that we had bombed Iran.
Yeah.
Overnight, you know, which wouldn't have been a terrible tactic if that's what he was going to do, to say, I'll talk to you in the morning and then attack overnight. But I'm sure at that point he didn't know what exactly was going on,
mm-hmm.
and what the plan was going to be. So the best plan was to not, you know, let the enemy know what we're doing.
And to be honest, you know, we sat and watched it about 2 hours ago. We watched President Trump talk.
Mm-hmm.
It was me, you, Mike, and my son, Maddox. My son, Maddox, is here today.
Right.
Not in studio, but here today.
Mm-hmm.
And we all agree that this is probably the most presidential speech
in I've action ever seen him
he, in, yeah, that he's ever done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was actually, the situation isn't refreshing, but the speech was very refreshing.
Yeah. I felt good, you know, as an American listening mm-hmm. to him talk. I have to say it's probably the first time I've watched him give a speech where I was like, right, I can get behind this. I'm with you on this. Now, by the time you hear this, he may have done some other stupid shit between now and then.
Yeah.
But
as Boyce said, Orange Man bad.
Right. Yeah. As of right now, as of 1 p.m. on Wednesday, January 8th, I'm impressed how he's handling the situation.
Yeah.
So what is the situation? I think we need to back up because, you know, originally our thought was we'll do an episode on the assassination of General Soleimani.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a bigger issue than that.
It's evolved immensely in the time that we've talked about this.
Right. And it's a long standing issue.
Yeah.
So I think more it's the conflict in Iran, I guess, would be a better title for mm-hmm. what we're talking about. And we have had for decades issues with Iran.
So did you know that this is the first time since World War II that we've taken out a major military leader in a foreign country?
I didn't. I know that. There were a lot of questions as to whether or not it was within international law in what we did, and I was actually pleased to see the best. So yeah, you know, it's as I've always talking about, it's so hard to get good information because, as I said, I watch both. Anytime there's something major going on, I'll watch Fox News and then I'll watch CNN and then MSNBC, and you watch this completely, and this has been no different.
Mm-hmm.
Although after Trump's speech, that's not so much the case, which we'll talk about at the end. On Fox News, everybody they have on is like, this was the right move. It was a good strike. It was showing force, and it's showing them that we're not to be messed with. Where if you flip over to MSNBC or CNN, this was irresponsible. It was stupid. It's going to start World War III.
Yeah,
but it was actually one of, I should have wrote down the name, but it was one of Obama's. It wasn't Secretary of State because that was Clinton. One of Obama's generals came on and said this did not violate any international. It was within the he was within accordance with the law in making the strike.
Okay,
so you know that for me, like, that's like, okay, that there's something I can sink my teeth into because mm-hmm. you know, all the correspondents on MSNBC are all hate Trump and are going to say, you know, Orange Man bad,
yeah,
about anything he does. And all the correspondents on Fox News are going to come on and say Orange Man good and say everything he does is great.
Yeah, it's so hard to figure out what's going on. You know, you hear this attack and you hear one side say that this was completely illegal. Then you hear the other side say it's within full right. And I'm here, an average person that has no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
And trying to listen to the news to figure out what's going on. And it's hard to actually figure out what side is telling what.
My feeling about this, whether it is Trump or whether it was Obama or Bush or Clinton, whoever it was, is that none of us really know what's going on.
No.
And I don't mean that in a bad way. What I mean is we do not have access to the intelligence
mm-hmm.
that the president has access to.
No, that's absolutely true.
The commander-in-chief of the military is making decisions. And, you know, the House of Representatives, Nancy Pelosi, the speaker, is the biggest thing she's critical about is the fact that he didn't consult Congress before he did this. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, like, I think our both sides, I'm not singling out the Democrats. I think the Democrats are shooting themselves in the foot repeatedly right now. They're out of feet to shoot. In this, those independents that are going to swing one way or the other in the election, the people in the heartland are not going to be happy with the attacking of the president for making a strong military move.
Yeah.
You know, unless it is completely senseless.
In the eyes of a lot of people defending Americans.
Yes. Yeah. So I think they're shooting themselves in the foot. But right now, let's be honest, Congress has gone rogue.
Mm-hmm.
The House, you know, and if you're supportive, if you're in support of what the Democrats are doing, that's okay. We can agree or disagree or whatever on that. But you can't deny they have gone rogue. They have 100% dedicated themselves to overthrowing our president.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe they have been operating in America's best interest in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, they have one mission and one mission only, and that is to get rid of President Trump. And
it sure does feel that way.
Yeah. And so because that's the case, of course, like, I would be worried even about sabotage. Like, if you have a military action you want to take in secret that has to be covert and a surprise act, you're going to go talk to, you know, run it by the Congress that just voted to impeach you, but now is holding the impeachment papers and won't send them up and just wasted all this time and money. All they want to do is get rid of you as the president. There's zero chance based on what everybody's seeing that they're going to look at it objectively.
Yeah.
And the same is true, honestly, of the Republican side, because they've engaged in the fight. Again, a lot of Republican senators and congressmen and women that weren't a fan of Trump because the line in the sand has been drawn, if now they're on the bandwagon just to fight against him.
Because
they're
just ridiculously backing them.
Yeah. So now it's a power struggle of retaining power. It's numbers at this point. It's not even that they care about Donald Trump. It's, okay, this is Republicans versus Democrats, which is the worst possible scenario we can be in, I think.
No, I agree. Wholeheartedly agree with that one.
But, you know, as far as him not – first of all, I want to say this. I don't know and terribly whole lot about the military, but what I do know is Donald Trump didn't make a phone call to a drone operator and say, hey, let's blow up General Soleimani.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how this works. How this works is our military intelligence agencies and our generals and the people in the operations wing of our government in the military side of it assessed a risk, developed a plan, and brought it to Trump for approval. That's how this works. So you have to understand that first when you're looking at this. I promise you with 100% assurity, it was not Donald Trump's plan to assassinate General Soleimani.
Yeah, it definitely, there's other people involved with that. It wasn't him saying, this is where he's going to be. Yeah, let's go do it.
Yeah, and not even just involved with it. Mm-hmm. And that, again, it's just not how it works. There are military strategists that developed everything from the plan and then took it to him for approval to carry it out.
Yeah.
And we don't know. We learned a little bit more, and again, we'll get to his speech here at the end, but we learned a little bit more about the situation in his speech today, and that we were looking at what has been done, but there was part of the reason they took him out is that sounds like they had credible intelligence that there was a legitimate threat that he was going to carry out an attack on America, that he was planning an attack on America,
mm-hmm.
that played into that decision. And again, whether it was Trump or Obama or Bush or Clinton, whoever, like you have to know when they're faced with that situation, something has to be done, and you can't share everything with the American people. We think we know everything. We don't have a clue. We don't have a clue what's going on. That's why I've always said that whenever a president gets elected, you see all these campaign promises that I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. No one knows what's actually going on until they're elected.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they get elected and they just stop talking about all that, whatever, usually to do with the military.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, I'm going to remove troops, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. And they get into office and they finally get, my feeling has always been, you know, they get into office and they get briefed like, this is what's actually going on. I'm like, oh shit. Well, then we can't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
ooh boy.
Yeah. Cause it's just highly classified materials.
Mm-hmm. Like aliens.
Right.
Like who was it? Clinton was going to unveil the aliens? Is that who it was?
I don't remember.
I think that's who it was. I think Clinton was the one that said that when he got in office, he was going to clean out Area 51 and
Oh, I do remember something about that.
And then that disappeared real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's way off topic. I got my tinfoil hat on for a second. I know,
but now I'm trying to think about what that was. Yeah, but then it gets in. It's like, what movie was it? We always have to reference some movie. Uh-huh. National Treasures.
I've never seen National. I've never seen either of them.
Dude, they're amazing.
I've heard that. I've never seen either one of them.
Amazing movies. Speaking of which, along the same lines, another movie recommendation that none of you have watched. It's a 1999 movie with Kevin Pollak called Deterrence.
We literally just talked about this.
I know. I'm trying to get somebody else to watch it. I've been trying to get somebody else to watch it for 20 years.
Well, now's the time.
Deterrence. Somebody watch Deterrence. I don't want to spoil the movie. It's a great movie that no one watched. It flopped at the box office. I watched it 20 years ago. Amazing movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it is relevant to what we're talking about now. But anyway, in National Treasures, you know, there was the book that's passed from president to president to president.
Okay.
You know, there's all these secrets in there.
And yeah, it has all the secrets.
And, And you wonder if something like that actually exists.
I hope so. I would like to believe it does.
I think it does. And I think that's why we see a camaraderie after the fighting, right? You know, you see all the time Bush and Clinton hanging out together.
Yeah.
You know, and you see them smile. They're friends. And even Bush and Obama, you know, it's like nobody understands what is actually involved in that office until they get in the office.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, I didn't know any of this was happening.
Yeah. There's a select few people,
mm-hmm.
45 to be exact.
Yeah.
That know what happens in there.
Right. So in this situation, what I'd like to do is go through a little bit of a very brief history of how we got here with Iran.
One thing I do want to mention, and I will probably mention this multiple times throughout this, is the fact that this part of the topic is really important to me, is because the situation is going on and it's in the Middle East, we as Americans have tendency to jump on this and to jump on immigrants that are here, to right. jump on Middle Eastern people, to jump on Iranians. We cannot do that.
Yeah.
They are here legally. They are here to better themselves in America. They are here. They are one of us. We are the same people.
Well, and the other thing that tends to happen is discrimination and violence towards the religion, because these people happen to be Islamic Muslims.
Yeah.
And so we think all Muslims are bad. I will tell you right now, I am very, very good friends with a number of Muslims. The one that a lot of you listening to probably know is Rabia Chowdhury,
mm-hmm.
who is a dear friend of mine, and I love her to death. And we've talked a lot about the differences between our faiths, but both respect each other's faiths. The Islamic faith is not a terrorist faith.
No, absolutely
it's
not.
It's not a violent faith.
Absolutely not.
But there are, what we're talking about here are extremists that are no different than Christian extremists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take the Ku Klux Klan. You know, I look at Islamic terrorists in the same light as the KKK. You know, these are people that are committing horrible, violent acts and doing it in the name of a god.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the KKK somehow uses the Bible as their reason for why they're killing killing black people.
Yeah,
and the same thing where the Islamic radical Islamics, Islamic terror, the radical Islamic terrorists that are committing violent acts, that is not what that faith stands for,
mm-hmm.
by my understanding of it, and by the people that I know and love that Absolutely. Are a part of that faith.
And I think that's what in times like this, it's so important to remember that you need to love the neighbor.
Right.
You know, love your neighbors, love everybody. You know, there's no reason to hate these people. And as I say that, I'm not talking about these extremists. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the people that are here, that, you know, whoever it is.
Yeah.
It's so important not to lump them in with these extremists.
Yeah. And I'm all about love anyway. I mean, I don't think we need to hate the extremists or the terrorists, but at some point we've got to protect ourselves.
Yeah.
Against Absolutely. Them. And so a big part of kind of a little basis for Iran to begin with. Iran is and again, I'm not talking, there are many, many millions of amazing, great, wonderful people that live in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
But as a government and a military as a whole, I'll quote again to try to balance things. I'm going to go back to the Obama years. At the time Obama was president, the Obama State Department considered Iran the number one terrorist supporting state in the world. So this isn't just, you know, Trump propaganda.
Yeah.
You know, we can go, and obviously Trump believes the same thing, but both sides of the aisle agree. Like the Iranians are huge supporters of terrorism,
mm-hmm.
and of course the Muslim, the Islamic State there has a big problem with Israel, which of course is that's a long millennia old conflict between the nation of Islam and Israel. And I wrote down which one of their presidents or their supreme, they have a supreme leader, almost like Star Wars.
Okay.
But whoever it was, I'll find it when I come through here at some point. But, you know, has stated like Israel needs to be wiped off the map. And the understanding is that Iran has been working for decades to try to develop long range nuclear weapons for the sole intent and purpose of vaporizing Israel. So a lot of the U.S. involvement, obviously Israel is an ally of ours,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of the U.S. involvement in this is trying to, has been for decades through many administrations, essentially, to put it very simply, trying to stop those two countries from blowing each other up.
Yeah.
Because while Iran is threatening to do it and trying, you know, to me, they're unhinged in a lot of ways. We're going to get a nuclear weapon and destroy Israel. Israel actually does have the capabilities of wiping Iran off the map
mm-hmm.
right now. I mean, and Benjamin Netanyahu has already said, because part of the with the bombings after last night's bombings, the Iranian president, there's all these threats, but it's literally like a bully in the schoolyard.
Yeah.
So one of the threats was, if you retaliate against our retaliation, which maybe was a retaliation for a retaliation. I mean, it goes on forever.
Yeah, it's back and forth.
Yeah. But he said, if you retaliate for this, we're going to attack Israel. And then, of course, Netanyahu comes on and says, if you attack Israel, we are going to hit you with the full force of our military. Because, you know, they have stayed, Israel has stayed at bay because they're trying to keep in accordance with international law.
Mm-hmm.
Is the only reason because I think there's just as much anger and hate going that direction too. I don't want to act like because they're our ally, Israel's always the good guys and Iran's always the bad guys. You know, there's a lot of animosity on both sides there, and it's, you know, Israel's held back to an extent because they don't want to turn the world against them, and Iran has been held back because sanctions and regulations have stopped them
mm-hmm.
from developing the nuclear weapon they want to blow up Iran, to blow up Israel.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where our relationship with them starts. I mean, you can go back decades, you know, there were peaceful years between Israel and Iran, and then there are years when there wasn't. Currently, they're, you know, in a verbal war. But right now, we look at Iran and how they relate to the United States. Hostilities are high, and they've been high. And I'm going to back up to November 24th of 2013. That is when the Iranian nuclear deal was signed.
Okay.
And that's been a talking point for a lot of the Republican candidates for a lot of years. This was during the Obama years. And it was, I believe, it was a UN-sanctioned deal with Iran. Because they had, so in order to stop them from developing nuclear weapons,
mm-hmm.
there was all kinds of sanctions on them. The idea was you freeze their money,
yeah,
and they can't afford to create weapons-grade nuclear.
Yeah, and they put in some other limitations, like they could only have so many first-generation centrifuges. They could only have, so I mean, they had that, you know, they had a plutonium limit. I mean, there's a bunch of things that put
right
in there,
yeah,
that seem helpful.
Well, and so that was part of the 2013 deal, which I thought was a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Was it
2013 or was it 2015? Because I've seen conflicting.
There was a second deal in 2015.
Okay.
There was two deals. But the original one, the date I have was November 24th, 2013. Then there was another one in 2015.
Okay.
But essentially, the deal that was supported by President Obama was, we will let up on these sanctions in exchange for you cutting back your nuclear weapons program.
Okay.
Some, and it wasn't even all of it. It was like just key parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it's kind of like you can, as long as you stop making nuclear weapons or slow down the process of making nuclear weapons, we'll let you have access to money. And it was right away from the beginning, everyone, like top military analysts, forget partisan politics, like, this is insane. They're not going to do that.
Yeah.
They're going to take that money and they're going to make nuclear weapons with it. And ultimately, that's what happened. But then 2015, there was another deal. And then there was the big scandal in 2016. What's been said for a lot of time, as a matter of fact, Trump said it in a speech today, was that there was the whole deal on the tarmac where $150 billion in the dead of night in secret was handed over from the United States to Iran in 2016. Now, it seems like and that number is wrong.
Yeah.
But it also came from Obama.
That number did come from Obama. And I think what's wrong about the number isn't the actual number. And I think people are going to get misconstrued it as we gave them $150 billion.
Right.
That was $150 billion worth of assets that was already theirs that we had frozen.
Right. Because it was tied up in the U.S. banking system.
Yes.
And so part of the sanctions were that we froze up that money.
Yeah. And they said about $60 billion is actual liquidable assets.
Right.
So
cash.
Yeah. Cash assets, basically. So there's only about $60 billion that they can use. Now, that's asinine to me and you. You know, yeah. What's $150 billion to $60
billion? Right.
Like, it's the same fucking thing to me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a lot of money.
Well, I think it is semantics, you know, and I think the $150 is wrong. I don't even know if that number's right. It's based on something that Obama had said about freeing up $150 billion, you know, in selling this deal to the American people. You know, we freed up $150 billion in their assets. But the meeting on the tarmac that was, again, like, for those that say the Obama years were scandal-free, they really weren't. I mean, look into Fast and Furious, Benghazi, and this Iran deal. And that was, I believe, the $1.7 billion in cash.
Yeah. So Trump said $1.8 billion.
Uh-huh.
The number is $1.7 billion, 400 million plus interest. And that's plus interest from 1979.
Uh-huh.
So I can only imagine what that's going to build up to be.
Right.
But that's because they had paid us money for goods that we never delivered in 1979.
Right.
And then at that point is when the government was overthrown over there.
Yeah.
And then we just said, oh, fuck it. We're not giving you anything.
Right. And then in 2016, in the middle, and later intelligence showed that they literally never stopped working to enrich the uranium, plutonium, and create nuclear weapons. They never stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the deal was, too, that we couldn't surveil them.
Yeah.
So it was like literally like, okay, we'll make this deal. You give me my money.
Mm-hmm.
We'll stop making nuclear weapons. Promise. But you're not allowed to look and see if we're making nuclear weapons.
Mm-hmm.
They never did stop. They literally used that money to help fund more terrorism and develop more nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
Again, the middle of the night, I think, is that what the $1.7 billion was?
I think so.
And it was literally cash that was, and both of these things were done without congressional approval, without mentioning to Congress, or without mentioning to the American people. They were intended to be done in secret, and they got busted for it.
Mm-hmm.
But so this happened. Of course, many of the Republicans, including Trump, were very much against the deal. Even a lot of Democrats were against the deal. That didn't, you know, during the Democratic debates in 2016, you know, before we whittled down to Hillary, who happened to be Secretary of State when all this was happening.
Mm-hmm.
But the other Democratic candidates, several of them were saying it was a terrible deal. We need to get out of this deal. We need to, you know, we need to fix this.
Mm-hmm.
We keep letting them build nuclear weapons in the shadows. Someone's going to get wiped off the mat, and it is going to start World War III.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of countries, not a lot, but enough, that have nuclear weapons and have buttons. All they got to do is start pushing some buttons and a whole lot of our globe is gone.
Yeah, it's going to be a mess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this agreement's still signed in place, but Iran just said they're not fulfilling it, like they're backing out of it.
Right.
So even though it's still signed and in place until 2035 or whatever the date is, does it matter? Because they're not fulfilling it either.
Right. Well, Trump backed the United States out of it in 2018. So, and he did it publicly in May 8th of 2018, during a speech, he said the heart of the Iran deal was a giant fiction, that a murderous regime desired only a peaceful nuclear energy program was a fiction, and he pulled us out of it and then put U.S. So he didn't have the support of the U.N. to pull out of that, but for the United States, he for the U.S. started putting massive sanctions back onto Iran.
Mm-hmm.
and military intelligence, and I haven't seen anyone disputing this, even on the Democrat side, said that it needed to happen. They were absolutely the entire time from 2013 to 2018, those 5 years, never slowed down their production. They were getting closer and closer and closer to building the bomb. And so Trump, he imposed these sanctions on Iran. So this is when things really start to get heated.
Okay.
So when Trump pulls us out in May of 2018, and then November of 2018, so just over a year ago, he starts imposing all these sanctions back onto Iran.
Mm-hmm.
So now we are back in turmoil with them. And Soleimani, the general of the I gotta look, make sure I'm pronouncing it right. He was the commander of the Quds Force, just spelled Quds. And he's kind of like a celebrity in Iran.
Yeah.
Like he's kind of their propaganda machine. He's a very good speaker and he would give all these speeches. But he starts openly threatening the United States. Imagine Donald Trump in the Iranian regime.
Yeah.
You know, if you watch his speeches, obviously he's not speaking English, but the translations,
mm-hmm.
he's saying Trump better not insult our country, better watch out what he does, or you're gonna pay for it, and we're gonna strike America. I was just watching before we came in here YouTube videos.
Yeah, he feels like the head of the propaganda machine.
Yeah,
is really what it is.
Yeah, and so he is openly threatened the United States and openly threatened Donald Trump repeatedly, and that has got the Iranian people. Yeah, there are Iranian people that are in support of this, which again is not all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But he was getting the whole country fired up, and like I said, he's their propaganda machine. He's the face of their military force, but he also has connections to a lot of militia in not only Iran but also in Syria and in Yemen.
Yeah, and Iraq.
Yeah.
So, which is where a lot of these attacks have happened. Actually, all these attacks have happened in Iraq.
Right. It's because we have bases in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's November of last year. There's a lot of threats and a lot of, for lack of a better term, shit talking going back and forth between that time. We know that there's been over like 500 Americans killed by both the militia and the Hezbollah, which are commanded all, or supposedly the strings are being pulled by this General Soleimani. And then we jump into this summer. And this is the parts that you're going to hear about, you know, the sound bites about in this current circumstance we're in now. On June 20th, Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, or the RIGC, shot down a U.S. surveillance drone that was in, according to the United States, in international airspace.
Okay.
According to Iran, they say they shot it down because it violated their airspace.
Mm-hmm. I do remember this happening.
Yeah, it was a big deal.
Yeah, it was a really big deal.
Because Trump actually ordered missile strikes,
mm-hmm.
and then changed his mind at the last minute. He didn't send them out. I don't know why that is. Hopefully somebody in his cabinet, the generals that are around him said, you know, maybe we don't want to raise this to this level yet.
Yeah.
And so the red line, you know, we saw one thing I will hand it to him is one problem I had with Obama was the red line in Syria,
mm-hmm.
you know, where, you know, he called it the red line and said, you know, if you use chemical weapons on your own people, we are going to attack. And then they did it. And he was like, oh, never mind.
Yeah.
Didn't do it. Which, again, you know, there's a lot of people like whether we should or should not be involved in that stuff. There's a whole lot of, you know, I don't even know how I feel about it. But what I do feel strongly about is don't write a check your ass can't cash.
I agree.
You know, if you're not going to do anything, don't do anything. Don't mm-hmm. say if you do this. It basically made us impotent
mm-hmm.
as a country. Nobody, which is kind of the opposite of what's happening now, which some people are for and some people are against it, where I think right now Kim Jong-un in Korea has got to be second guessing his open threats.
Yeah, he's probably starting to shit himself a little bit.
It was the day before, days before that. What did he say? That he's got a present he's going to send to America or mm-hmm. whatever, and they're, you know, testing new weapons, and then he sees what happened. And that has to put anybody that wants to do us harm in check to know,
yeah,
that okay, well they're not playing.
And it's hard. It's hard to say. Just like you said, I don't know how I feel about this,
mm-hmm.
but I do agree with you. Like, if you put that line in the sand, you better stand by it.
Right. Hold the line.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, again, you know, we're mixed up in a broader view. I would say that we are mixed up in a lot of stuff we shouldn't be involved in.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of people, I think we forget sometimes that other people in other countries and other nations and other faiths and whatever have just as much pride for their country and nation as we do.
Yeah.
You know, we stand up, it's like, no, you don't mess with America. We're going to bomb you, do whatever.
Yeah. And the reason we see that is because we're Americans.
Right. And then you'll see, like, you know, there's a lot of conflict going on in Turkey this summer which I don't know all the intricacies about, but it's like, you know, well, they're bombing them and they're bombing them and they should. It's like, you know what? If that was America and mm-hmm. someone did this to you, you would retaliate too. So we have to remember that, you know, in a lot of stuff, I think that, again, in broader terms, we tend to pick and choose where we want to stick our nose
mm-hmm.
based on our own best interests, which to an extent, that's what we should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
But in another case, it's like, you know, well, we went into, you know, in the 90s, we went into Kuwait, you know, and got into the Gulf War. Because, you know, because they were raping and murdering and torturing the civilians and women in the street, and somebody had to do something.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, right, but that's also happening in Africa. Why aren't we there? It's like, well, fuck them. They don't have any oil.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
and speaking of oil, I mean, that was a statement Trump said in the speech today, is that we are now the number one supplier of oil, or producer mm-hmm. of oil.
Yeah.
And it, I mean, he said straight out, we do not need Middle East oil.
Right. His one of his campaign promises, and he's now again now on the other side of that. There's a lot of people, you know, on the environment side of this that don't like what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side of it, his goal was to make us energy independent,
mm-hmm.
and so we have become to the point where we can be energy independent.
Yeah,
which also opens up. There's a lot of times where we probably should have attacked
mm-hmm.
someone and didn't. Because of oil.
And literally, as we sat here, we watched it. I mean, the gas or the price of oil dropped 4%.
After the speech. Literally right after the speech.
Yeah, right after the speech, mm-hmm. which means gas prices go down for all of us.
Right.
I mean, it's
yeah
because of the speech.
Mm-hmm. But so kind of going back to our timeline. So it's June 20th of this year, they shoot down the drone.
Okay.
Trump's ready to order missile strikes. He does order them and then reverses his order.
Mm-hmm.
And the conclusion that it kind of came to was no Americans were hurt. They shot down a piece of metal. It's $1 billion piece of metal, or however expensive it is.
Mm-hmm.
But there were no American lives lost. This does not need to be our red line.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, Trump decided that at that point, the statement that our red line is U.S. a U.S. life.
Okay.
If you take out if you kill anyone, any United States citizen, that is the red line,
mm-hmm.
which happened in mm-hmm. a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
So we have December 27th,
mm-hmm.
a couple days after Christmas, there was a U.S. base in Iraq that was attacked by Hezbollah. And there were several servicemen.
There was one U.S. contractor killed.
Mm-hmm.
There was four service members injured. And two Iraqi service members injured.
Right.
In the attack.
Yeah. And so that was the first, since this conflict has been going on since June, the loss of American life.
Mm-hmm.
This U.S. contractor that was on the base. Now, the attack, it really gets into the weeds, and you got to have a really good understanding of Iran's structure and some of these terrorist cell structures and the militia. And I don't have it.
Yeah.
But my understanding is basically that that Soleimani was pulling the strings of Hezbollah.
Mm-hmm. That's the way that I kind of read it as well.
Yeah, and that he was behind the attack on the U.S. base.
Mm-hmm.
So now American blood has been spilled by Iran and by Soleimani
mm-hmm.
by proxy. So then 4 days later, so tensions are already building. I think that I'm sure our military was already planning how we're going to retaliate for this. But I will say that other than running off at the mouth, the response has been pretty measured by Trump.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
which is amazing to me that he's been this measured with this whole situation.
I'll say that his speech today amazed me, but the fact that he's been more measured and level with all this doesn't surprise me, because again, what people don't realize is he's not just, you know, do it for it, you know, mm-hmm. or whatever. You know, there's There's an entire staff of military, the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the military, the people in his cabinet and advisors are making this. So if he's like, you know, even if he comes in, there's like, fuck him, blow him up. You know, they're going to be like, no,
yeah,
we can't do that.
Well, and we talked about this off the air a little bit. You know, we talked about how flamboyant he is and how much he goes out and tweets these crazy things. But this is the first time that he's really had conflict,
right?
Like serious conflict.
And that was a good point you made that, yeah, it really is the first time that something very serious has happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this isn't 9/11, but this is, we're on the brink of war right now.
Yeah.
You know, and his actions and his words are going to decide whether or not we end up in a full blown war right now, because it's not just Iran.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Iran has allies too. And one of them is Russia.
Yeah. Which we already have issues with.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so it's developing into this old World War II, you know, the Axis powers and the allies and the Axis, and like people are starting to pick sides.
Mm-hmm.
Now I think our sides are a lot stronger, and it's a different world now too. You know, say like China, for example, we don't really get along with China. We got a lot of trade shit going on with China right now. But the bottom line is, when it comes to something like a war,
mm-hmm.
China needs our money and we need China's money.
Yeah. So we're going to be on their side.
We're always going to be on the same side. Like there's never going to be a United States and China war.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to happen because of money.
Yeah.
And that's really is past a lot of this, what really makes the world go around. That's a,
yeah,
that bit's extra. So on the 31st or the 27th of December was when the U.S. base was attacked and an American citizen died in that attack.
Yep.
And then 4 days later, it got even more heated.
Back up 2 days later.
Okay.
On December 29th, we retaliated and attacked a Hezbollah storage facility.
Right.
And that's where we killed militiamen, the Hezbollah militiamen.
Right.
That started this current.
Right. And that's where it gets into those weird weeds, because the Hezbollah militia
mm-hmm.
is not Iranian military.
You're right.
So we didn't attack Iran.
Mm-hmm.
We fired back on Hezbollah.
Yep.
But which is still supposedly Soleimani.
Yep.
And the Iranian government as well, military. They're intertwined. It's not the clear division we have now. It'd be like the Michigan militia
mm-hmm.
if they were actually like having meetings with the army generals.
Yeah.
You know, which we don't do, but they do.
So then after the 29th attack, there was funerals put in place on December 31st for these militiamen. And after the funerals is when the militiamen that attended the funerals attacked the U.S. embassy.
Right.
And that's what really set this off.
Yeah. Because for those that don't understand how this works, an embassy in a foreign country, a U.S. embassy is U.S. soil.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's literally part of our country.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why you see it depicted in some movies where, you know, a U.S. citizen be trying to get to the embassy and trying to, because once they get onto U.S. ground, it's literally like coming into our country and killing them.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an attack on U.S. soil, which again, it's all very, very murky and muddy because, you know, it wasn't the Iran military, you know, the IRGC.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if it was necessarily Hezbollah or militia or.
The way I read it was from, they were people attending the funerals of those militiamen.
Uh-huh.
Which to me sounds like more militiamen.
Right.
No, I could be totally off on that.
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously you're figuring out that we're not Middle Eastern experts at this point. We're doing our best.
No. We're two white guys in Michigan.
Yeah.
With beards.
Right.
Your beard's way more impressive than mine right
it's
now.
It's glorious.
I cleaned right mine now. Up.
You did. I'm gonna clean mine up right before we go to Mexico. So that's the attack on the embassy, and that's when it was. We all knew. Everyone knew something was going to happen.
Yeah.
And some, like for me, like I was like, what is it? Like, is this going to launch us into war? What are we going to do? And that's when, as you said, first time since when? The 40s?
Since World War II. It was Operation Vengeance in World War II.
Mm-hmm. Where we assassinated a key military leader.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I don't know exactly how I feel about the strategy. I think that a drone strike on the one man. Well, I think there was eight other people with him.
It was 10 people killed in the strike.
Okay, nine other people with
nine
him.
Other people.
But he was in a 2-vehicle convoy. General Soleimani was by the Baghdad airport, and they launched a drone strike that just wiped him out.
Mm-hmm. It was a MQ-9 Reaper drone.
Mm-hmm.
I found that out. I don't know what that means, but that's what it is. Sounds, and I wanted to put it out there.
Sounds like a cool video game.
Yeah, it does.
But let's talk about how we feel about that. So assuming something has to be done, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we've got tensions are building. And again, you know, some people might just say, just back out, leave them alone. I'll be honest with you. That's not how I feel about it.
Yeah.
I feel actually Trump said it really well today that, you know, we have the strongest military in the world. We don't want to use it. But the way you don't use it is to show people we're not to be messed with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't let us get to a point where you're boxing us into a corner.
I'm so torn.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so torn on this. I 100% agree with what you're saying, that we needed to show force. And I do feel like this guy needed to be taken out.
Mm-hmm.
But at what cost? You know, what's it going to bring down the road? You know, and that's a huge thing. I don't know.
You got to balance that too with what could it bring down the road if you don't.
You're absolutely right. It's so hard to say. Mm-hmm. It's so hard to say. And then the other thing that really gets me on this, and I don't know why this gets me so bad, is the fact that all this fighting is being done in Iraq.
Right.
We're fighting a different country in a third party country.
Yeah.
Now,
it's interesting.
It just baffles me. I mean, I understand geographically why it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have military bases there and all this, but it's so weird for me to say that we're going to take the war to somebody, but not actually take the war there. You mm-hmm. know, we're going to fight Mexico, but we're going to do it in Canada.
Yeah.
You know, it's strange.
Or
to me.
It would be more to the point would be more like, if Mexico and Canada went to war in America.
Fought America, yeah.
Yeah, and they were fighting on, you know, and just like using our space.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, remember, we're not at war. And that's the only reason I don't know how I feel about taking out a leader like that is because it opens a door for the same thing to be done to us.
Yeah.
Or for anyone. But at the same time, what the goal is. And let's just assume for this conversation that there's an actual credible threat of something. Something has to be done. Let's just say that's the case for now, even if you disagree with that, that something has to be done. So you're going to attack, say, Hezbollah,
mm-hmm.
their militia that are all over the place. Well, they're known. A lot of these terrorist organizations are known. And actually, I need to just make sure I say this only because I don't want to offend anyone. I keep referring to Hezbollah as a terrorist organization. I literally just wrote down that word. I mean, mm-hmm. I've heard it before I came in here, mm-hmm. and that's what I understand from it. But it just occurred to me that I may be calling someone's religion a terrorist organization because I don't know exactly what Hezbollah is. I just want to make sure I put that out there. If somebody's offended, they're already offended, but it literally just popped in my head.
Numerous articles we read said Hezbollah militiamen.
Right.
So take that as what it is. That's all we know.
Yeah.
Going forward.
Yeah. There may be some wonderful Hezbollahians out there.
Hezbollahians?
Yeah. But what I will say is a lot of these Islamic extremist terrorist groups, the reason they're so hard to fight
mm-hmm.
is because, in my opinion, they're fucking cowards and they hide amongst civilians.
Mm-hmm.
So this is very different than a military, you know, here's the military base and here's where the enemy is. And then here's our military base. And then, you know, the civilians are in the middle. They hide amongst the civilians.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way to get to them is if you've dropped bombs, you're killing civilians that don't deserve it. Or you go in, you know, with troops, and now we're putting more of our own servicemen
mm-hmm.
and women in harm's way, putting boots on the ground, and there still will be civilian casualties in the middle, and you're tearing up these towns. So knowing all that, or you take, here we have, I guarantee you, we know where that guy was at every step he ever took.
Oh, absolutely.
Through drones or whatever. And then,
well, they knew that he flew into that airport. He flew in on his plane to that airport, landed, got in a convoy and left the airport before they struck.
Right.
They knew they could have taken that plane out if they wanted to.
Right.
But then you have to worry about where's that plane going if you take it out. Mm-hmm. They knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
They knew where he was. They knew where he was coming from. They knew
what was happening. And so the tactical strike took place. What they did was wait until it's just their two-vehicle convoy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Soleimani and his harem of people that are with him,
mm-hmm.
isolated away from all civilians, away from everyone else, and they dropped one bomb or one missile, whatever they shot out of the drone, and boom, took him out. With no, now you could call the other nine people with them collateral damage. I don't know who they were or what their role was.
It looked like they were all military personnel.
That's what I thought.
It was all, you know, he was the general, but it was like, this was the major so-and-so, and this was Colonel so-and-so, and this, you know, I mean, they all were military personnel of some sort.
Right. And so the idea is, I guess, is the whole idea of you know, you cut off the head, kill the body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is, tensions are rising. You know, they're attacking embassies, they're shooting down drones, they're doing this. Let's take out the head, take out their propaganda machine, the face of their military, the one that's supposedly pulling the strings and ordering all these attacks, wipe him out, and hopefully everything else will, you know, as I said, he's a hard man to replace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times, like, if you just kill the leader, somebody else just steps up and takes over, but he was very unique.
Yeah.
So in that regard, if something needed to be done, and I, of course, am not privy to the intelligence to know whether or not something did need to be done. I think this was probably the smartest way to do it, in mm-hmm. my opinion. You know, because your other options are war,
yeah,
killing civilians. You know, it to me, I think it was a good way to handle the situation if the situation needed to be handled.
And from what I've seen, it sounded like they had knowledge that he was planning more attacks.
Well, and that takes us to today,
because
I didn't know that until today. So, but what I've been saying for the last week since this happened, 5 days since we killed Soleimani, was there's more happening than we know.
Mm-hmm.
I have friends that were very much. I have some very good friends that are like not anywhere near the middle, extreme left-wing liberal, very close friends of mine. And they're like, oh, fuck, he's taking us to war, and he's doing this, he's going to start World War III, and da-da-da-da. My kids came home from school, like, Dad, are we going into World War III? Like, what's going to happen here? People were nervous about it. But what I kept telling all of them is, like, there's more than, you know, first of all, what I said at the outset of the episode, Donald Trump didn't go into, you know, didn't call somebody up and order a drone strike. Doesn't work like that. So that there was someone in the military, a bunch of someones, developed this plan and presented it to him as this is their best option.
Mm-hmm.
And it was had to be our best option because there has to be more going on than we knew. Now, jump to actually not quite yet to today, last night, which was January 7th. So 8 days ago when you're hearing this, Iran, after, I think it was before Soleimani's funeral. Yeah, it was yesterday.
It was yesterday, yeah.
But they launched 15 ballistic missiles at U.S. air bases in Iraq. But this is really interesting what happened here.
Yeah, it really is because, you know, they really touted this project they're working on, these missiles,
mm-hmm.
as being accurate. And they knew exactly what these missiles were going to do.
They've demonstrated them to be accurate.
Yeah. And they missed everything. There was no lives taken. They don't believe there was any American lives taken.
Were there any casualties at all?
It doesn't sound like there was any casualties at all.
Well, I know they said four of them were like duds,
mm-hmm.
like misfires or failed.
Yeah.
And then there was like five shot at one base and six at another.
Yeah.
And they didn't hit the bases. I was watching, flipping from channel to channel last night, watching all the different military analysts come in and talk about it. And the first guy, it was actually old Ollie North. He said, we have to consider the fact that this was an intentional miss,
mm-hmm.
which I was like, what?
So I saw three different things that I can see make sense. One, it was an intentional miss to just show that they had a little bit of power. Two, it was the fact that maybe these aren't as impressive as they think. You know, maybe this was just a botched attempt.
Right.
And they're really not that good. Or three was more back to the intentional part. But trying to make America put their guard down.
Right.
Going, look, they can't even hit us.
Right. So you have to leave in 5 minutes. I don't know if you looked at the clock.
I haven't.
You actually need to leave 5 minutes ago.
Okay.
So very quickly, That strike came. There was no casualties. Trump then gave a speech today, which watch it if you can find it online. Mm-hmm. We'll put a link in the comment and in the description. But he gave a very powerful speech saying that we are going to not strike back because there was no American lives taking place, that we're going to put on more sanctions. And he said he wants peace. He does not want war, but we do have the strongest military in the world, but we do not want to use it. I thought it was a great speech. Also happening right now is Nancy Pelosi, right before this, said she's going to introduce a war power resolution in the House to limit Trump's power.
And that seemed like it's back down today.
Yeah.
Already.
Well, yeah, because all of a sudden, and part of that speech, as we said, was Trump revealed, if you believe Trump, maybe you don't even believe him, but that part of the reason Soleimani was taken out was because there were credible threats that he was planning an attack on America on top of what had happened. And with all that being said, I don't want to rush you out. You don't have a clock. You're going to miss picking your kid up at the bus.
So I think that because of the situation being so dynamic that we are going to come back to this, have a follow-up episode on this. And discuss it a little more because this is, I mean, by the time this gets out, there's going to be new things.
If there's a lot of big developments over the next week, we'll talk about it again next week.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening. Sorry we had to rush at the end. I did not realize what time it was. And Zach has a kid's going to be waiting at a bus stop. So Zach, thanks for being my friend.
Love you, buddy.
Love you, man. Bob and Weave is an NBI Studios production, produced and edited by Mike Bussing, music by Shane Yoder of PutThemInASong.com. The artwork and our logo was created by Zach, and the video editing was done by me. You can connect with us on all forms of social media at Bob Weave Pod. And if you'd rather watch than listen, check out the Bob and Weave Podcast on YouTube. If you have any questions or a guest request, you can email us at contact@BobWeavePod.com. If you like the show, please take a minute to go on iTunes and rate and review us. On behalf of myself and Zach, we love you guys. Thanks for listening.